Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a grandmother return from the grave to watch over her family as new generations enter the world? Today we hear the story from a medical professional who believes that may be happening in their clinic.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost story with us, write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And hey, if you're enjoying the program and you'd like to get the show's ad-free, no commercials in there at all, plus weeks in advance for their public release and a bonus episode every single week, well, all you have to do is become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all those extras as well. You also get access to the audiobook version of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. I recorded that over the summer. It is for sale on Audible right now, and wherever you get audiobooks, iTunes, sorry. anywhere that they sell audiobooks, you can get it. So that's out, but you get it for free when you become an EPP. You also get the e-copy of our book. So whatever you like doing, if you like sitting there reading on your device, you can read it, or you can hear me creepily read it out loud. Mm-hmm. I like to play it for the children when they go to bed at night.
You do not.
Real soft tone. Just, you know, I like to put a MP3 speaker into the wall. I go up into the attic and I drop it down and then I press play. And then the kids are like, what is that? Where is that noise coming from?
Wasn't there a news story you just told me about some creepy music playing through a system, like an alarm system or something?
Now you're understanding radio. You're doing good at this.
Yeah.
See, I'm transitioning.
I see that.
Transition. I like to make it obvious and call it out because it's kind of fun, because I hate it when radio does that and you can just tell that that's what they're doing. I like to make it obvious and be silly about it. So yes, that's exactly something.
That's where you wanted to go.
That's what I was going to go to next.
Okay.
But you led me there. I didn't have to lead it there.
So it's only taken me 6 years to finally get this.
Gold star.
Yay.
Although I'm not as structured as I used to be. I used to be very structured in where I was going with shit. And if you've been listening for 6 years, you know I don't know where the hell I'm going with the show on any given day. There's not a lot of prep involved other than here's a lump of stories. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So, I was all mapped out. But yeah, there was a story. Funny you should say that. I have it already up on my... browser right over here. At least I did. Yeah, here it is. So in jolly old England, there was this situation where some local folks, I believe Ipswich is the name of the area, the residents were hearing the sounds of, you know, creepy nursery rhyme music. You know, think of that. I mean, just think of, you know, the sounds of the dingy, like almost like music box. Mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, just to paint the picture, I'm just pulling up a creepy music box sound. It's kind of out in the background. Just think at night, you walk to let the dogs out. And you just hear this.
I've had that happen.
Way up in the background. You're like, what the hell is that?
Had that happen. It freaked me out. And then I came and got you.
And it turned out it was just Silver Dollar City playing Christmas music.
I think it was a different attraction with their Christmas drive-through attraction.
Oh, it was Shepherd of the Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had some Christmas stuff going on. It was kind of weird. So we did have something similar to this.
Yeah.
Where it was unsettling because it's like midnight and... all those attractions are shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking, where the hell is that music coming from? And it's just, you know, the wind and animals. You hear animals quite a bit there. But then you'd have that playing. Anyway, in England, residents are complaining of the same shit in this town called Ipswich. Like, what the hell is going on here? Turns out it was a security deterrent that some business had in place. That was kind of off in the woods a little ways. And it was essentially like a motion sensor thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to keep, you know, prowling people away that would be trying to get into their business. And it was really loud speakers that they had set up. And if something triggered it, just like a motion light, it would start playing this creepy music outside of their business. They took a different approach than just the motion light.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, motion lights, I think everybody, even criminals, see through that. It's like it's a motion detector, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh. But if suddenly, you know, weird children's nursery rhyme music starts playing, it's a sign to get the fuck out, you know? Because you don't know who's going to be coming through with a gun shortly after that. But it was playing It's Raining, It's Pouring.
Oh.
The Old Man is Snoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even know how that goes in terms of a song, but I remember the saying.
Yeah.
It's raining. Okay, maybe I do know. It's pouring, the old man is snoring. So picture that. And their volume was up kind of high, higher than they thought. And mm-hmm. it didn't get triggered that often. But there was some infestation of spiders going on over there.
Ew.
And it turns out it was spiders that were on triggering on top of the security camera.
Oh,
so they'd go into the to the light trigger of it, and then boom, the creepy music starts playing in the middle of the night, and the residents are like, "What the fuck is going on?" So,
as if it's not creepy enough, it's spiders causing the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's caused by spiders.
Ugh.
So there you go. That's a lovely situation to be in.
That's funny.
But hey, it's a logical story,
uh-huh.
an explanation. It wasn't ghostly, but that's some creepy shit. Even if you're playing non-creepy music lightly late at night in a forest, it's still unsettling.
It is.
There's nothing that's going to
Even if it's Christmas music.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, what is going on here? So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us. Is it 6 years we've been doing this show? Because I was talking about that the other day and I didn't know what year we're on.
It's 1 year less than Harper.
Six?
Mm-hmm. Because okay. She was about a year old when we started doing this.
I couldn't remember if we started doing it before she was born or after.
No, it was after.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the way I can remember. That's how I remember my own age. I add 30 on top of hers, and then I know what I am.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how I keep track of things. So, let's go to our first story of the day. It says, I was working at a imaging clinic in California back in 88, 89. The place was an old building that was very old. Doctors moved to a new building, rented the place for my boss to open the general and vascular ultrasonic clinic there. I was living in Indo, California at the time. We had many undocumented immigrants there, and they used to pay cash for their ultrasound services. One day, I was working alone at the second sonographer, right? Okay, was away, and an old Mexican lady came with her daughter to check for her daughter's pregnancy and see the child. In that time, we didn't have a 3D or 4D image, but we can show them a baby and give them a Polaroid picture on thermal prints. The patient was sent by a doctor to check for viability. The baby was 14 weeks at the time. While I was doing the ultrasound scanning, the baby had a very faint heart, and the heartbeats were less than 50 beats per minute. There was lots of amniotic fluid. And by the time I did the scan and all other measurements, the baby's heart stopped completely and went into fetal demise. It's very rare to happen while I do the ultrasound, and this is the only case I had in my career that the baby's heart stopped at the end of the exam. So I documented the heartbeats on Doppler, M mode, and put on VHS video to show them there was no heartbeat. The patient was sad and starts crying along with the grandmother. The husband was supportive and understanding, and he took them back to the doctor's clinic nearby. Later in the day, the grandmother passed away on the same day at night. I was informed by our Mexican clerks who have connections with that family. I was very saddened by the news. 1 week later, while I was opening the clinic early in the morning, I started feeling uneasy, and I felt someone watching me, especially when I go to the ultrasound room. When I move and go to the other rooms, I feel okay. I thought it could be anxiety or some EMF effects that can do this. But the ultrasound machines are the same, and the rooms are the same, and there were no extra wiring or extra machines in them. A few days later, I heard a crying sound that was the same crying the grandmother gave while she was in the ultrasound room that really scared me, despite I'd been through a lot of paranormal incidents in my life. The sound of the crying and sadness make me very sad, and I remember I asked and asked, turning my face to a different direction as I couldn't see the entity. I said, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do? But all that I felt was a gush of wind from the room back to the end of the clinic, where the window toward the backyard was and the desert was. I used to tell the Mexican clerk about this, as she was Catholic and she believes in spirits. So we used to pray around the room so we don't have patients. A few weeks later, the sound came back again when I was alone and just opened the clinic early. And I felt the persistence and that presence in a chair where the grandmother was sitting watching the baby scanned. I remember that I had that VHS with me. And that time, so I put it back and only played back the part where the baby was alive and increased the sound volume so I could hear the heartbeats. And started saying, is this what you want to see? Is this the baby? I'm very sorry for both of you. I was really sad. I had tears in my eyes. I told the spirit to trust in God, and if you're Catholic with the faith, please trust that he'll take care of her. I felt the room get a bit lighter, and the spirit moved to the back of the clinic. I told Angela, our clerk, to say what I said in English, but in Spanish, so the spirit would understand. She also called on one of her relatives, who did some cleansing to the place, as we didn't want to scare the patients or tell the manager, who lives close by in town. After the cleansing, everything settled down. I've asked the clerk why we don't go to the grandmother's grave and do some prayers, but she said her body was taken back to Mexico and buried near her relatives.
I would imagine for the grandmother, that went from probably the happiest moment to the saddest moment in just a matter of
hours,
minutes.
Yeah.
And to go back to possibly the happiest moment of hearing the baby's heartbeat is all the grandmother wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would think if you're... There's probably some confusion going on as well, too, once you're dead that quickly. And you're seeking out happiness. You're seeking out some, you know, form of closure to some of this. And that may be exactly what was going on at that point in time with that grandmother. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Let's go to a caller. It's Vinny.
Hey, Tony and Jenny or Carol. It's Vinny from New York again. Listening to tonight's episode, Ghost Caught on Camera. And you're talking about someone had written in discussing that there is a lineage in their family of the men being able to see things that others can't. And the writer was talking about how her 18-month-year-old son was seeing stuff and seeing monster and seeing other stuff. Anyway, a quick story about that. It's actually not my story, but it's one that I use as an example of this whenever I give lectures. So years ago, I worked at a hardware store, and I worked with this gentleman. I'm not going to say his name, but at that time, he had one son. He was married. He had one son. And the son was about 4 or 5 years old. Now, prior to my friend, my coworker, who prior to him being married, his best friend had passed away. And he was a young man, suddenly died. It was unexpected. But he lived in this basement apartment. When he passed away, a little while after that, my friend then moved down there with his then wife. Then they had their son. And when I was working with him one day, he knew that I was into this stuff, to the paranormal. And he said, hey, so my son has been saying weird stuff about, and, you know, he said the name of the guy who died, but they had never met. I said, well, what's he saying? He goes, well, he said Uncle so-and-so said I could have his fire jacket. And this gentleman, before he passed away, he was a volunteer fireman, and tucked away in a closet of the house, they had his jacket. And then he starts talking about a series of numbers. The child is talking about numbers, and no one knows what that means. And then the most bizarre thing is that one day the child runs up to the plexiglass door on the side of the house that leads out to a little path, and then that goes out to the driveway. And that door was right alongside if you were to step into the house, it would go down the stairs to the basement apartment where this gentleman lived. And anyway, this child one day was banging on the door, and he's yelling, "Wake up, wake up, uncle," and he said his name. That's the door that the medics took him out when they found him unconscious in his basement apartment, and then they took him out to the driveway, and he ultimately passed away. Now, my friend said to me, okay, then let's say ghosts are real. Why is he coming back and talking to my son and not me, his best friend? And I said, well, I'm willing to bet you, and I don't have any children of my own, but I'm willing to bet you, if you saw him walk across your living room, you would say, oh, I'm thinking about him. He's on my mind. I heard a song that reminded me of him. His anniversary's coming up. But if your child, who's never met him, came up to you and said, Uncle so-and-so said this, now you have to stop and you have to recognize that. Because as adults, as human beings, what we do is, when we have to justify, we have to see something and then put it into a category, right? But now this is something that's out of his control. And the long story short of it is that what I was trying to convey to him is that he'd be more willing to believe his child than his own eyes. Now, the whole reason behind this, a little psychology behind it, because that's my big thing with this, is around 6, 7 years old is when we lose that first sense of play. meaning you spend all the money at Christmas on the most expensive gift, and the kid plays with the box. Instead, they turn to a rocket ship or a castle, right? They've yet to be jaded. They've yet to be really broken down by life. They're just happy running around, using their imagination. So they're open, and they're way more receptive than we as adults are. We've yet to be beaten down to who we ultimately become, and we all have inherited baggage from our families and so on and so forth. But so that's thing. Now, that's where the story used to end with this child, until a couple of weeks ago when my friend texted me. He said, well, it's happened again. I said, what do you mean? And he said that his son, who is now 9 years old, was riding his bicycle past his in-law's house, my friend's in-law's house, and standing in the driveway, the child saw my friend's grandparents on his side. They're both dead. And I said, you know, what'd he say? He just said they were just staring at him, and they just looked at him as he went by. And then that was it. I said, was he scared? He goes, no, not at all. It was a very matter-of-fact kind of situation that happened. And I said, well, were they friends with your in-laws? He goes, yes, they were. They were very good friends. So I think this child has a little something more than just the natural ability that all young people have. And then lastly, before I go, you and Jenny were just talking about how we tend to see more of an interest in this topic with females, and that very much is the truth, you know. And you know, it is, you know, as Jenny was saying, it's the societal garbage of men got to be tough and can't cry, and you know, we can't even dare to you know, fathom the thought of something so silly as ghosts. And that's true. Like whenever we do public investigations, 9 times out of 10, the vast majority of people who buy the tickets are the wives and the girlfriends. And we, at one point in the night, one of the locations I investigate, we split the group up, and you know, the predominant number of people in attendance are female. So it's just, it's a funny thing. It's always, you know, it's a cool societal thing to see in action. But yeah, there is moving this point to of more of an open dialogue with both genders. So, but anyway, with that said, guys, as always, thank you so much for what you do, and looking forward to more. Thanks. Bye.
I find it fascinating when it is passed down in the males in a family, as far as the ability to be gifted, if you will, because it's funny, because it's not always the same way for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody may hear somebody may see things, somebody may just be able to sense, but they all have a gift. But it's interesting when it's passed down in the males, because we don't get a lot of those stories. And I wonder, is it truly that the females are more sensitive and that happens more often, or it's just we talk about it more?
I think it depends if you're a sensitive man of the 90s that you're able to talk about it. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, socially, do men talk about it as frequently with other guys? I don't know. Maybe there may be some of that judgment there.
Yeah.
Or are they just not experiencing it as frequently, or are we rationalizing it more, going, I kind of feel this way, but it's probably just that sort of shit over there,
you know? I don't know. I kind of feel like there's a double standard where, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like if a guy were to go to a group of guy friends and say, yeah, I saw this, this is kind of crazy, they'd be like, dude, there's something the matter with you. But if a woman goes to a group of her friends that I saw this, they want to know more about it. They want to know all the details, and they want to know how they can have that happen to them.
Probably.
Okay.
It really probably depends on your group of friends. But I would say it is in a generalized form. I think you're right.
Okay.
I think that'd probably be
pretty. And I know that's an extremely stereotypical scenario there. But yeah, that's just kind of in my mind how it seems, based on all the stories we've heard, how it seems to work in a general matter.
My imaginary friends, when I bring them shit, and they're mostly guys, they are not very judgmental on it. But again, they're imaginary.
I'm surprised your imaginary friends aren't judgy, because you're so judgy.
Well, they're judgy, but not on that stuff.
Okay.
They know what I do.
Okay, they get you.
So they just get me.
They just get you.
That's why they're my imaginary friend. God. We go golfing together.
Okay.
We had a foursome out the other day.
That explains a lot.
It's just me by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I hit the ball 4 times in a row each time I hit. which is incidentally true.
Yeah, sometimes.
But it's not because I'm hitting for the imaginary friends. That'd be great to try and pass that off. Why do you keep hitting it? It's for my imaginary foursome that I have going here.
God, that's like one of the most pathetic things I've heard.
You mind if we play through? What do you mean we? All four of us. It's just you. In spirit. That's a great way to make real life friends right
no,
there.
No, not at all.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Sarah. I'm from New Mexico. I've been a fan of your show here for about a year now. I am an EPP, and I just enjoy listening to you guys when I'm at the gym or on my drive to work. I have a quick story that happened to me recently. I don't know if to call it paranormal or exactly what it is. Here it is. I've been in firefighter EMT for about 7 years now. I'm a volunteer firefighter in my town, and I work in the town about an hour and a half away from here as my job on an ambulance as an EMT. I believe this was in August, I had a pretty rough week where I had a total of 7 deaths in about 10 days, I believe. 7-10 days, I believe it was. 3 of those deaths were pretty gnarly. They were car accidents. Both wrecks happened in one day. One, which was a pedestrian. The second one, which is the one that involves my story, happened. Was my last call of the night after responding to a total of 4 wrecks back-to-back, which is quite unusual. It was on the stretch of I-10. I was already on the scene of another wreck, but I was getting ready to leave when I get another tone for a rollover on the interstate with 2 people ejected, which, of course, I hauled butt, got there as fast as I can. By the time I got there, there was already CPR in progress on both of these guys, very young, very sad to see. Both had been ejected. I started doing compressions on one of them to relieve the other guys that were already on scene when I got there. But of course, at that point, I pointed out a few things to the paramedic on scene, which, you know, he decided at that point there was really nothing much we could do for them. Being that we were the closest department to that district we were on, they asked us to stay and kind of use our vehicles or fire engines to block the view of the bodies. So, of course, you know, helping our law enforcement family, we decided, you know, we'll stick around as much as you guys need us to. It's already around 11, 12 p.m. So, yeah, we stuck around. You know, it's kind of, you know, sad how used we are to these scenes. This one actually did bother me for a bit after this week I had. I did take a break from it just because of how bad it was. It really got to me. It's very strange for me to be bothered by scenes, but this one really did. So, yeah, we the medical investigator got there, you know, took pictures, whatever they had. Of course, we're there, so we might as well lend them a hand. We helped them with the bodies, you know, putting them in the bags for the coroner to pick up. So the coroner got there, you know, I helped them load up the van, load the bodies in the van. So at that point, you know, I tell the guys, you know, I think we should be good to go. You know, it's been a long day. We should head back there by the sergeant. He's like, yeah, you guys are good to go. Thank you for your help. So the guys start loading up everything. I have my pickup truck that I use for the fire department, which was parked right next to the van where the bodies were. You know, I really didn't think much of it. I just wanted to get home and go to bed already. So I sit in my pickup truck and I'm calling my husband to let him know I'm on my way and hang up the phone. And I hear my name being shouted, you know, a male voice which I thought it was one of the guys. Maybe I forgot something or they want to ask me something. So I look, and the guys, like, they seem like they're doing their thing. Don't even look like they're looking for me or anything. So I'm like, ah, it's just, I'm probably just tired. I need to get home already. So I get going, and I'm trying to get back into the lane of traffic. Of course, there's heavy traffic because of the accident, but I hear my name one more time being shouted by a male voice. So I'm like, okay, so it must be one of the guys. So I look again, and the guys are already getting on the engine, minding their own business. And I'm like, okay, this is getting a little weird. Well, it happened a total of 3 times. I heard my name loud and clear. And I look to my side, and at that point, I realize I'm right beside the van holding the 2 people that just passed away in this wreck. So, yeah, at that point, I couldn't get on the lane fast enough. I really don't know if maybe it had anything to do with them. It did bug me for a bit. It's very close to my home, so for a few days, I did go back and kind of try to, you know, clear my mind and look at the scenes. Kind of always helps me to go back and, you know, figure out what happened and know that there was really not much I could do. But yeah, I just thought it was very strange. It's never happened to me, of course. Over my years, I worked in many accidents, many different kind of deaths, and this is the first time this happens to me. So I thought I would share it with you guys. I hope you find it interesting. But yeah, that is my story. And I will keep listening to you guys. Thank you for all your work. I really appreciate it.
I think I would be afraid of that happening more often if I were in that line of work.
Yeah.
I mean, that when you encounter death as much as somebody that works accidents like that, I'm surprised that that was the only story she had for how many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to think that there's somehow a correlation between that accident and that happening right there.
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly think there would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you ever get used to that job? You know, like seeing those scenes on a regular basis? Does it ever become normalized? I suppose anything technically can become normalized, but you almost kind of got to like go into it at a certain level of like, okay with it. I mean, not like okay that it happened, but just like
desensitized.
Yeah, desensitized to it. And I don't know how you get there or what that is, but I'm not good with like seeing gross, you know, remnants of accidents.
Yeah.
I don't freak out or anything, but it's shit that like I can't then remove it from my mind. And when you're in that line of work, you're seeing it all the time, and it's part of the job. But is there ever a way to kind of to desensitize yourself so much that it's not like haunting you, you know, mentally for long periods of time?
I don't know. I think it just takes a special type of person to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't speak to anybody that did that in my family.
Yeah.
But my dad was a cop for several years, and he would tell stories. This was years after he stopped being a cop. He would tell stories about the things that haunted him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you do that, you know, you're going to see things that you can't unsee.
Sure.
But I don't know. I don't know if maybe that was just he wasn't, you know, able to ever put that out. And some people are.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that's something that everybody really deals with, but they just don't talk about very much.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question for people who are in those fields. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably a very individual answer. You know,
he never told me any stories because I don't talk about my dad very often, but he mm-hmm. never told me any stories directly, but it was because of his years of being a police officer that he believed in ghosts.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a lot of former officers that call into the show.
Yeah.
And share their stories, and they won't do it while they are officers.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, unless they're doing it anonymously. We've had that before. But yeah, I mean, you got to run into so many things. You know, a lot of things you can't explain, and it's the worst of the worst in human beings. But then I'm sure you do run into those things like, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Or why this is, you know. So thanks for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep it on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Sign up, get all the bonus material right there. Brand new EPP bonus episodes every week, advanced episodes, audiobook, ebook, and more. Ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.